the streets, sometimes not alive. There are, everything's on fire, and just horrible. And we drive up through there, and I'm just in shock. And I get up to where we were staying. It was up a house up on a hill, and I'm looking out this window at Port-au-Prince, and it's just devastation. That's all I can see. And I just started crying. I said, what am I doing here? I can't help these people. There's nothing I can do. I'm just a somewhat successful business person. What do I have to offer? How can I make any difference to these people? Well, then God reminded me of the story about the starfish. Remember that? Remember the story about the starfish where all the starfish were dying? And by the tens of thousands, these starfish are laying all over the beach. And there's a guy walking down and picking one up and tossing it back. And he'd walk a little further and toss another one back. And then another guy was coming the other direction. And he looks at him and says, buddy, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm saving these starfish. He said, look around you. There's devastation everywhere. They're all dying. How can you possibly make a difference? And the guy picked one up and he tossed it back and he said, I made a difference to that one. And God reminded me of that and said, I'm not asking you to change the world. I can take care of the world. What I'm asking you to do is be obedient to me, and I'll show you how to make a difference in that one, in just that one. And that's all. That's what we're called to do. And that's how Sue and I began our ministry. And Sue, poor Sue, she has had to, I've drug her all over the world and in some interesting, somewhat dangerous situations at times. But through that, she's been so faithful and so just got a hold of the vision and runs with it. And I'm very thankful for her for that. Fast forward a few years, so I'm taking medical trips down, taking doctors and nurses and so on. We're setting up clinics. We're doing all this work, and God begins to speak to me about, you know, you're more of an educator. You've always been interested in education. He begins to talk to me about ways of possibly making a difference in higher education and so on, and so I'm looking at it, and at the time I was working on my doctorate, and I was at Regent University in Virginia, and I was driving over there to propose my dissertation subject, and I was kind of nervous about it, so I was rehearsing it in the car. Well, it's an 8-hour drive over there, so I get to Beckley, and I'm rehearsing, and I'm going through what I'm going to say and everything, and God just stops me like that and says, no, that's not what you're going to do it on. And I'm like, okay. And it wasn't audible, but it was as close to audible that I've ever heard God. And he said, this is what you're going to do, the vision that you have that I've given you about the school. And so for 5 hours, God downloads a vision into me about a ministry that we eventually start. And I take it to the dissertation chair, and I'm nervous because I have nothing to present to them. And it was a Christian University, Regent University. So I go to him and I said, you know, God did this. You can say I'm crazy all you want, but you take it up with God because this is what happened. And I told him the vision that God had given me. He said, I absolutely love it. Do it. And so that ended up becoming my dissertation subject. So all those years later, I've been writing curriculum. I've been working in all these things, and I've hired some people down in El Salvador, and we've been down there about 13 years now, and we began to look at ways of providing higher education in a way that was affordable but could be transformative for people. Because, see, I believe the poor is where change comes from. The rich are happy where they are, okay? It's the poor where change always comes. It's revolution comes from the poor. Well, revolution has, you know, we don't like the Bolsheviks and all that. We don't want, you know, that kind of revolution. But we can have a revolution for Christ. We can have, because his power is revolutionary. So we began to work on curriculum that would be able to do a university that was specifically designed to raise up people out of poverty and turn them into transformational leaders. And that's what we began to do. So a few years ago, I'm sitting in my house here in West Virginia, and I'm thinking about, well, where is this place going to be, God? And I always loved this place called Lake Ilopango. And Lake Ilopango, which is where we live now, it's a 5 by 6 mile lake. It's a huge volcanic lake, and absolutely stunningly beautiful. And I thought, boy, it'd be a great setting for a school, just a nice setting and all that. And I said, so I looked on Google, which is where I can get all my answers, and and I put in, property for sale, Lake Ilopango, and up pops this place. It's an old resort called Lago de Ilopango, the view of the lake. And it was this, at one time it was kind of fancy, but it had fallen into disrepair because of violence in the country and the Civil War and everything. And so I said, Lord, would you give that to us? Would you give that to our ministry so we can provide this for the kids? And I got really excited about it. And I sent an email to some of my board members and friends and said, I sent a link to it. I said, look at this. Wouldn't this property be great? Let's believe God for this and everything. And I got lots of responses like, oh, it's fun to dream, things like that. Those nice little things that you just want to smack someone when they say it. Because I really wanted that property. But they wanted $800,000 for this property. So I looked in the account, and after I took everything into account, I was $800,000 short, which I was like, well, okay, well, So a couple months later, I go down. I've kind of put that in the background, that property. We're needing a property really badly, and so because we're in El Salvador, which is the gang capital of the world, I was looking for a gang-neutral place to have it, we didn't ever find it. But what happened is we found a property in downtown Soyapango, which is the suburb of the capital, and we were pretty excited about it. I was sending Sue pictures, and she was picking out paint colors, and we had everything planned, and we were looking at furniture, and it was a pretty exciting time. And so I went to the people, and I negotiated a lease, and I said, well, listen, we don't really have much money, so I'll give you this, and I need this happen, and so on. They agreed to everything, and I'm like, yes, praise God, this is wonderful. So they said, okay, next Tuesday, we will sign the lease. And I said, okay, so we're all planning. And we've been in and out of the property, how you do, and got very excited about it. And they called on Monday night and said, deal's off. And at this point, I had already gone around to churches and told them where our new property was. We had done a lot of stuff. And I was devastated. And I did what every good Israelite does and said, why didn't you just let me die in Egypt, right? Have you ever done that? I know you guys probably don't do that. I do that occasionally. So I went to my bedroom there at a friend's house. And I'm laying there and I'm saying, God, am I so wicked that I cannot even hear you when I think I've heard you clearly? How could I possibly have missed this? And then I went out to a hammock and laid down in there and turned on my phone to some music by a girl named Audrey Assad. And a song comes on and it says this. Says, Lord, I don't need to see the path. Just show me my next step. And I knew. I was like, I knew what God was saying. I don't need to see the path, just the next step. And I said, okay, God, what am I to do? And he said, go to Vista Lago. Well, I hadn't really thought about Vista Lago. But I knew it was $800,000, and so I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to do that. So the next day, the guy's working for me, Guillermo, comes by, and he says, well, boss, what do we do? And I said, take me to Vista Lago. And he looked at me like I had two heads. He was like, okay. I mean, it's crazy. So anyway, we go over to the lake and to Vista Lago, and we're peeking through these gates. By the way, the PowerPoint is wonderful in this, if you ever want to see it. Has the pictures of everything. But we're peeking in the gate, and I'm just getting excited about it. And then this lady comes over, and she says, well, you can't come in because the owner's not here. And then she sees two gringos standing there and figured one of us must have some money. She was wrong. But she let us in to look at the property, and we both knew this was where God was going to plant us. And so we called the owner, and we went to the office the next day. And when we called them, they said, well, if you're wanting to rent this, we're not interested. And I said, well, I just want you to hear me out. And they said, that's fine, we'll hear you out, but I'm just telling you, we've been offered thousands of dollars a month to rent this place out, and we've always said no, we are not interested, we only want to sell it. I'm like, okay, well, just hear me out. So I'm praying, okay, God, what do I do, what do I do? We go in this office, and as we sit down at the table, I get a text from my secretary that says, Jay, we have a major problem. The Internal Revenue Service is demanding $48,000 by tomorrow. And I'm like, huh. Well, that's not good. You know, I don't know what it's for, but I know that's not good. So we're sitting there meeting, and I say, well, listen, I don't mean to offend you, and I know you guys said you wouldn't rent it, but how about this? How about you lease it to me for 2 years, and then I buy it from you, and I'll give you $1,000 a month. And they both were like, are you kidding me? And so we talked about, I said, I'll give you $10,000 down. I had $300 in the bank, okay? So I said, I'll give you $10,000 down in the next 2 months. But I felt really like God was, this is what he wanted me to do. So I said, you know, we'll do that and give you $1,000. And they called the lady who owned the property. And she said, oh, no, I'm not interested in doing that. And I said, well, will you at least consider it? And she said, well, I will, but I'm going to tell you no. I said, okay, that's fine. And I said, we'll talk to you in the next few days. And she said, okay, and pretty much was like, never hear from this guy again, right? We got in the car, and I start laughing, and kind of maniacally, and the employees were with me, and they're looking at me like, this guy has lost his mind, and maybe right. But I said, that property's ours. And they said, Jay, were you not in the same meeting we were just in? And I said, guys, I know what it looks like. I know it is, but God has told me that property is ours. This is over and over and over. He keeps telling us that this property is ours. We just need to take possession of it. And they were like, well, I don't see how this could possibly happen. We don't have any money. She's already told you no, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, let's go. And there's a place called Pop's Ice Cream, and it has the best chocolate ice cream. Anyway, I said, let's go celebrate and get some ice cream. And they're like, okay, whatever. And so we go over there, and we're eating ice cream, and I'm just laughing. And I'm just having the greatest time because I know God has done this, but I don't have the slightest idea how he's going to do it. And so the day unfolds, and I get another text from my secretary. It says, oh, that was not for us. That was a total error on the $48,000 that you don't owe any money. And that was a total error. And I'm like, well... You know, because there for a while I was $47,700 behind, and now I was going to be another $800,000. So the lady says she's going to call me in 3 days. She calls me the next morning and she says, Dr. Dewhurst, she said, I don't know what to tell you. Can you do $1,200 a month? And I didn't have any time to pray about that. I just said yes. I said, yes, we can do $1,200 a month. So we end up with this property. It's about 5 acres. It's an old resort, so it's got all these little bungalows on it and a bar and all these things, which we've since turned into classrooms. And we start taking applications for students, and we take our, we've got a new class starting in January, and on they're working on the property, and we're painting. We're excited. And this one's from God. I know this one's from God. So Sue and I go down on the 27th of December, just right after Christmas, and we go down, and we're going to move in 3 days. We're going to move in on the 30th. And we get down there, and we go into what eventually became our house, and we noticed some pretty terrifying things. Okay, one is there were lots of tarantulas. The tarantulas really seemed to enjoy lots of the space. But they sometimes would leave you alone because the scorpions were coming in. Or the anaconda that was around our washing machine one night. So there were lots of interesting vermin there, none of which we were terribly thrilled about. But I thought, you know, I can get through this, you know. And I went and got, I did some praying and some purchasing of spider killer, and went around spraying the world. And so we're getting ready to move in on the 30th. Well, on the 29th, I get a call, and it says, Jay, we've got a major problem. And which I don't really like people start up conversations like that. I mean, I can identify a problem. You don't need to tell me up front that it's a problem. But they said, according to the guard, the MS-13, which is just right outside our gate, is coming in and living in this at night. Any time after dark, they're inhabiting this place. Well, I don't know if you guys know about the MS-13, but if you want to see what a gang is like, there's a thing called the meanest gang in the world. It was on Netflix. I think it still is. It gives you just some idea of how vicious these people are. There's about 60,000 gang members in El Salvador in our area within about a 15-mile radius. And, of course, that's why we're there. We know they're there, but we didn't know they were actually coming in on the property. So we said, well, we need to meet with them, ask them, you know, what's going on. And my experience with gangs was very limited, and so Guillermo, who worked for me, felt strongly that only he was supposed to meet with them, and which felt kind of cowardly to me, but we prayed about it. We really felt like that's what we were supposed to do. And so the gang leader said, the clique, it's like the local leader, the clique leader says, I'll meet you guys there at 9 o'clock. Well, he and about 10 or 15 other gang members show up at 9 o'clock. It's pitch black on the campus. And he comes in, and these guys are mad when they come in the door. And they start saying, who do you think you are moving into this property? This property belongs to us. And start, you know, you're the one that's going to get out. Who do you think you are telling us what to do? Blah, 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 and start this. And God, just the Holy Spirit came over Guillermo in such a powerful way and gave him just wisdom to speak to them that to this day still just, it just amazes me. Because Guillermo was, what, 27, 28 years old? And he said, I'm not here to tell you anything about this property or what you guys have to do. I wouldn't do that. He said, I'm just here to share you with what God is asking us to do. And he tells them the vision about what we're doing. And this mean killer, with all these MS-13 guys around him, melts and says, you won't have any trouble for. And Guillermo, and this is puzzling to me, he says, are you the final authority on this? And he said, well, there's one above me. And he gets him on the phone, and the guy says, who do you think you are? And starts in on him again. He said, I just want to share with you. And he shares with him what God had put on her heart. And he says, I'll order the guys off the property. You won't have any more problems with us. This is the meanest gang in the world. Okay. These are killers. Okay. The next day, and this was on a Saturday night, I think, and the next day, Sunday, Carlos, who was the gang click leader, is running from the police. They're shooting at him, and it's all kinds of stuff going on. He falls over a cliff into a ravine and busts up his ribs and his arm and almost killed him. He lays there for 12 hours. This gang leader lays there for 12 hours in horrific pain, dying, and gives his heart to Jesus. Within 2 days of them threatening us, the clique leader was getting baptized. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Now, his life has not gone perfectly. As you would think a Christian life should be. I mean, he's still a gang member, and he's got some major, major issues to deal with. But he belongs to God now. And so what I was praying for is to get rid of gang members, but instead what God gave me are relationships with them. And God told us one night, he said, that night that he was meeting with them, we were back at the mission house, we were just praying fervently, and I said, oh God, I'm praying against them with all the Pentecostal blood I got, I'm fighting against the evil, and God stops me and says, those gang members are not your problem. They are not an enemy. They are victims just like everyone else in this world. The evil is coming from the principalities of darkness, and that's where you need to pray. And I came out to where some friends of ours and Sue was sitting there in the dining room, and I came out to share it. And during prayer, God had given her a scripture. And she didn't even know what the scripture was. She just knew what she was supposed to say. She said, God told me Romans 12:21. So I'm like, well, I don't have any idea. Does anyone know what 12:21? I open it up and I go over there to the Bible and it says, to fight evil, do good. And I knew our purpose for being there for those gang members and everything else. Is we were there to serve them. They were one of the reasons that we were there. So we began to see miracle after miracle. I could stand here all day and tell you miracles that were happening. It's astonishing to me how God just continued to work in our lives. He did, every time we would have a problem, he'd show up with a miracle over and over and over. But we were then able to implement the programs that God had put on our heart. And we started out, we have a holistic approach to things. We believe very much in, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the writings of Ruby Payne. If you're an educator, you may have heard about it. But she has identified nine characteristics of poverty. And you find those poverty characteristics, we've talked about them here, Lee and Smith, and you'll find them, they're the same here as they are in Africa, they are in India, they are in Central America. They're very, very common things. It's not all financial, it's not all education, there is no panacea, but holistically approaching them with God being at the center of it, you can do some real damage to poverty. You can really offer people some things to help them lift themselves out. And so we began to do the holistic approach, and which is, again, on the wonderful PowerPoint that you're missing out on. But we identified four areas of focus that we have. One is education. We have a university, and this university provides for a bachelor's degree in three different areas in computer science, accounting, or business administration. And we only take 40 students a year. And so they go through a four-year program, so there's a maximum of 160 kids, but they live there on the campus, which we're the only university in, well, much of Central America. It's definitely in El Salvador and Honduras and so on, but most of Central America, we do this because we want to have all of their attention, because these kids are from areas where they sleep on the ground, not on the floor, on the ground, because they're dirt floors. They have sewer just running through their neighborhood. It's unbelievable how poor these kids are, but they are smart and they are wanting to learn, and they will end up coming and studying with us for 4 years and become transformational leaders who we then go put in some of the most important companies in the world. And they began to transform from within. One story is about a young lady named Jacqueline. Jacqueline is, she's just a tremendous young lady. She came to us, I think she was 18, went through the program, did a great job. She was the first person to be employed. She had a job before she graduated. We had gone to this guy who actually is, Muslim, and he owns this big companies down there, and he didn't want really anything to do with us. And when I left there, I thought, oh, I'll never see this guy again. Well, he was the first one to step up and hire one of our students. Jacqueline became the assistant to the president of the company, and when she was promoted this last year, they called and asked for another one of our students because she had done such a great job. Now, that may not seem extraordinary, but let me tell you what was going on at home for Jacqueline. Jacqueline was in one of the poorest of the poor areas. They had very little. Her father left them when she was very small. She had two sisters, so it's her mom out trying to earn $5 a day just so they can, and that's the minimum, just so you can eat. I mean, that just barely gets you through the day. And she's out, and she needed her now adult child to be out working too. I mean, you can imagine if you had someone, you were only making $5 a day, and then now all of a sudden you could have $10 a day. I mean, the difference in your life, you double your income. Well, but she wanted more for her child, and she was willing to make the sacrifice. So her mom began to sell the things that she had accumulated over the years with her husband before he left. And by the time Jacqueline graduated, they were sleeping on the floor. They had no furniture left. They pretty much had a hot plate, and I don't even think they had a refrigerator. They had pretty much nothing. And now they're able to support themselves. Instead of living on $5 a day, she's now making $600-$700 a month. Now, that's not a lot of money here. That's pretty good money there. And minimum wage is $300, if that gives you some idea. So that's just one life. And so I look at and say, okay, well, God, when you called me to make the change for that one, was she one of them? Well, she was one of them. We also do some other programs. We work in the schools. We work directly from 5th grade to 12th grade, working on life skills, really sowing the Word of God into their lives. The public school system is a mess like you can't even believe there. And so we daily are going into the schools, and there's lots of young gang members in there assuming that they've stayed in school, and we're working with them and so on. We also have gang programs where we go and we actually do things to help them learn new skills and so on, and trying to get them to pull away from the violence and so on. And all this is covered in prayer, and we don't shy away from that. And because of the way the country is there, we don't have to, which is kind of nice. So we're able to really sow into their lives. Another one is we do some community-oriented things, and then we are raising money to build a large clinic. The number one cause of cancer-related deaths in women in El Salvador is cervical cancer, which is just ludicrous because it's if they can identify it early enough, it's highly treatable. But they only have one oncology clinic in the entire country. And that's only if you're rich. So you can, even if you get it identified, which is pretty unlikely until it's at a very advanced stage, your chances of survival are pretty small. We've had friends die of it there. And a lot of people are trying to approach it from the HPV virus and prevention and so on, but we're looking and saying, okay, well, if we truly want to transform a country, the moms have to be there. The dads need to be there too, but the moms need to be there too, because if the mother dies, it's not only a tragedy for her and her life, but what happens to her family? The family falls apart. The kids end up, the girls end up pregnant, the boys end up in gangs, it just continues to perpetuate the problem, and it just continues and continues. Now you got to imagine a place where we live. It is unbelievably poor. Now we're used to it now, and so if I went to Haiti today, I'd just look and say, "Oh yeah, it looks like home." But it's the majority of the world looks like that. I mean, there's 2 billion people in this world. There's only a little over 7 billion people. 2 billion of those live in abject poverty, and 4 billion total live in at least extreme poverty. We are the exception. The world does not live the way we live. We look around and we think when we go to these places, oh, it's devastation. No, that's what the world looks like, because you know who is the ruler of this world, and that's what he does. He devastates. He'll devastate your family. He'll devastate your country. He'll do whatever he has to do to devastate, and he is very good at his job. He is. And that is why we need to be good at ours and going out and fighting it. Well, I could tell you many other programs that we're doing, many other stories that we're doing, but we obviously have to have support. And the support that means the most to me is when people just give a $25 pledge a month. And I know a lot of people ask for this and so on, but this truly is a partnership, because I know something for sure. I have people backing me up when I'm there. I have people praying for me. And I have long-term sustainable support to be able to do the things we're doing with these kids, because it really is truly making a difference. Another way that you can be involved is through a mission trip, which Pastor Steve and I have talked about. And I think you're going to share on that, aren't you? Yeah, about possibly having a team come down. Now, I know it sounds all horrible with the spiders and everything else, but the spiders, we have successfully run off the spiders, and we rarely see a snake or a scorpion. Actually, I see more spiders here than I do there now. Now, we are next to a jungle, so if you go out in the jungle, you're going to definitely get into them, but that's, I mean, in the woods here, it's the same thing. So, and the MS-13, well, you are going to have to deal with them if you come down, but you get to deal with them by praying with them, asking them to receive Christ in their heart, figuring out where they're hurting. You talk about some hurting people. You ever meet a gang member, you're seeing someone who's been tricked at a very young age by Satan to go into, to be part of a club, essentially. Now, the orientation program is not like what you would have at your fraternity or something. No, this orientation is a blood oath sworn over a satanic Bible. That is the entrance. And once you've done that, they reward you by 13 of them come and kick and hit you as hard as they can for 13 seconds. MS-13. In the 18th Street gang, they do it for 18 seconds. That's the second biggest gang. That is how they start. And if you survive it, then you're one of them. And then you're on call to do Satan's work for the rest of your life. And there's no way out, except if you become a Christian. They will let you out if you become a Christian, but here's the deal. They will watch you. And if you ever begin to fall away and not have the Christian life anymore, they will slit your throat. That's just the way it is. There are other ways to get out. One of them, the chief one, is being killed, and then another one is there is a step down that you can negotiate after years of service. They'll let older people, but I have to tell you, there aren't very many older gang members. Most of them are 20 years old and so on. But you will not be in any danger. There's no problem with that whatsoever. You'll be inside of a compound. We'll take very good care of you. We'll even try to provide you with air conditioning because it tends to get a little warm down there. But it will be an experience that will change your life, and it will help change the lives of others. If you become a sponsor, we have some gifts back there, which we will mail to you within the next couple months as we pick them up down there. One is a nativity scene that is being rearranged by, I think, 7 or 8 kids so far this morning. So I don't know if baby Jesus is even there now, but our granddaughter, when she really likes those, but she calls them God sets. She said, "Do you get any more of those God sets instead of nativities?" So, but before I go, I want to tell you one more story. It's about a young man named Emerson. Emerson, Sue's got a smile on her face as soon as I mention Emerson. Emerson there's been one poorer than him, but it's only marginally so. He was homeless several times in his life. His parents had lots of health problems, and so periodically they couldn't even afford a little bit for their shack, and they would be homeless for a while. But this kid was so smart, no chance of ever going to college. That he graduated from high school was a miracle. So we take him in as a student, and after 1 year, things are not just bad at home. Well, now his dad dies, and he ends up coming to us and saying, "Well, now my mom's really sick. My dad's gone. I've got to leave school. I'm going to have to leave and go out and work." Well, you know what we, God provides and says, "Okay, well," I said, "how much do you need a month?" And he told us, and I said, "Well, we're going to pray that in. We're going to get that support for you." And so some people began to pray, began to support him, and kept him in school. Well, Emerson today works for a big accounting firm right down the street from the U.S. Embassy and is in a partnership track position. Now, this man's life is completely transformed. But let me tell you something else he's doing, like a lot of our kids are doing. He's still back in his community saying, "Okay, how do I transform this place? How do I give the next one an opportunity? How do I continue to do the vision?" Because, you see, now it's not Dr. J's vision. It's not just a vision that some gringo had. No, now it's his vision. He's got the vision. And even though there isn't much money, he's still saying, "Okay, how can I help? How can I transform?" And so that's kind of the summation of our, I hope I didn't go way too long. So it's kind of a summary of what we're doing there. If you want to know more about what we're doing, go and like us on Facebook under Nehemiah International, and you can see that. If you'd like to make a gift to us or anything, you can do it on our website at nehemiahiu.net. NehemiahIU.net, and just go click on donate, and it goes through there. Or if you want to do it on a piece of paper back here, you can do that. But anything you can do to help us would be very much appreciated. This is my home church. I miss this place. We've only been here not quite 2 years, but we love this place, and we love you guys, and wish we could be here more. It's just not the way it is. I say that we live in West Virginia, but I spend almost all my time in El Salvador, and Sue spends about half her time there. So we're gone a lot. So that's all I've got. So, yeah, thank you. It was so much better with the PowerPoint. I got to tell you.
You should give Jay.
Tried to get you excited about spiders, anacondas, and an MS-13 gang, but it's totally safe, 100%. No, it... You want to buy this car? There's no engine and no transmission, but it is fantastic. No. truth be told, we are going to put together, and I'll have more detail, we're going to put together a trip next June. The cost is very, very minimal. $1,600 a person is really not that much. That may sound like a lot, but it's not. If you want to start praying, we're probably going to be leaning towards a construction-oriented trip. They need lots of work, so any of you that are good with your hands, I'm not among them, but I'll be going. But if you would like to consider that as something you would like to do, that'll be next year. We'll give you some more detail as time goes on. But like he said, if you would like more information, you'd like to sign up, you'd like to be a supporter of the ministry, his table is here with the blue tablecloth. Matt, who was with us as a guest today, has a table out here right outside the door with some of his stuff. So this has been kind of the world is bigger than us Sunday morning. We are not just us four and no more in these four walls. The body of Christ is all over the world, and we are a part of it. The unique thing about being a Christian in 2018 is you can connect globally, instantaneously, with people all over the world. It's just incredible that we can make an impact in the lives of people. I honestly believe, I do not have a scripture for this, but I honestly believe that when we get to heaven, we'll get to meet people that our support and our prayer has impacted, and we've never, ever, ever met these people. So just as we dismiss this morning in prayer, just pray and sincerely say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to give Matt $100? Do you want me to support Nehemiah International on a monthly basis? What do you want me to do? Just pray about it as I pray this morning to dismiss and let God lead your heart. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you today for a unique Sunday morning. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministry that Matt brought and his family. And we thank you for the ministry that Jay is doing in El Salvador and his wife and the whole team. God, we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would lead those that need to be supporters and those that would go in June and everything and everyone. Lord, we trust you to lead us and to guide us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray again for Matt and his family as they travel. We pray that you would be with them, that you would give them your grace, that your anointing would be with Matt as he speaks. Lord, we pray for Jay and for Sue as they travel, Lord, that you would be with them as well and continue to increase their influence in their ministry. Lord, we give you glory and honor for all of this morning. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you all are officially dismissed. Move about the various tables and opportunities this morning, and we will see you next week at House of Mill.